We go over this prayer list on Wednesday night. I won't do it this morning for the time's sake, but that's a list, and then the whole back is a list too. And all of these folks have serious needs. Many have cancer and COPD and terrible back problems and hip problems and things like that. And so please look over your list when you get them on the email and remember those folks to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help. Matthew chapter 8 in your Bible this morning. We looked at what Jesus taught while he was in Galilee. And Galilee is referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. And Isaiah prophesied that the Gentiles would see a great light. And that great light is Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He came into their region and preached the gospel and healed the sick. And they saw the power of God at work in their midst, and many believed on him. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had healed many, and a great crowd was following him. And when he was set, he called his disciples to come up close, and he taught them, and the people listened. And he taught them what would be required for them to live in his kingdom when he sets up his kingdom. Now, Israel failed in receiving Christ as the Messiah to have the kingdom at that time. But Jesus is still coming to this earth one day and set up his kingdom. And all of us of the church age that are saved will be taken to heaven in what is called the rapture and be with the Lord, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And we'll have glorified bodies like Jesus' body. And then we're going to come back to this earth with Jesus. And he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, Revelation says. And those that get saved in the tribulation period that are left on the earth will enter the kingdom in mortal bodies like we are right now. But the curse will be lifted from the earth. And the Bible says a child will die at 100 years of age. And they will have the longevity like Adam and Eve and Noah and all those folks did back then, because there will be no curse upon the earth. And they won't have the devil to deal with, because he will be chained in hell during that whole 1,000 years. But they're going to be tested. He's going to be let out for a brief time, and they'll be tested. And sadly, the Bible says many will follow him, and fire will come down out of heaven and devour them. And then he sets up the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20. And he's created a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell with him forever and forever. Know Christ is your Savior, my friends. Know that in your heart. Be sure you know you're saved. None of us know what a day is going to bring forth with our health and an accident. And none of us know what a day is going to bring when Jesus is coming again. But it could be at any time. So Jesus taught them all these things in Matthew 4:23 through chapter 5 and verse 2. And we looked at that, and then today we begin to look at the works that Jesus wrought. We saw the things Jesus taught, now we're looking at the works that Jesus wrought. There are a lot of miracles that Jesus performed. I want to read to you from Matthew 8 and verse all the way down to verse number 16. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And catch this last line. And healed all that were sick. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Help me now as I seek to bring the text on this leprosy being healed, that I ask for you to give us understanding of your word, and may the Holy Spirit have liberty to work in our hearts to apply it to our lives. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are at least 35 separate, distinct miracles that Jesus did in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The number of people that were healed must go into the thousands. Because as in this passage, and there are others, where it says that Jesus healed all that were sick, all that came to hear him speak, and he took time to heal all of them that came unto him seeking his help. Now, the Gospels reveal the mercy and compassion of God upon man who has many needs. It reveals the deity of Jesus Christ as the Christ of God, the Messiah of the Jews that the Bible prophesied would do miracles. And so the Jews were looking for this identification of the Messiah as Jesus did these miracles. It revealed to many of them who believed on him that he was truly the Messiah. But he's not just the Messiah to the Jews. He's the Christ of God. And therefore, he's Lord and Savior of all who believe upon him. We look at three miracles of healing in this passage of Scripture today. We'll only have time for one of them. In Matthew 8:1, healing of leprosy. Leprosy is a symbol or type of sin. And the healing of sin is a type and illustration of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and then after he comes down from the mountain, this is the first miracle that takes place in the healing of this leper. That does not mean it's the first miracle that Jesus had done. Back in John's Gospel in chapter 2, the first miracle that Jesus did is explained there in chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. At the marriage in Cana of Galilee, Jesus turned the water into wine. And the governor of the feast said, You've saved the good wine until the last. And you see, you got to know your winemaker. If Jesus makes wine, it's okay to drink. And it won't have the decay of fermentation in it, which makes an acceleration in alcohol and causes people to become drunken and say things they normally wouldn't do and do things they normally wouldn't do and be injured and hurt and have lust and all of those things that comes along with people drinking alcohol and getting drunk. And this was at a wedding that Jesus did this. It was a miracle. The Bible says it was the first of the miracles that Jesus did at the wedding. So what is a miracle? A miracle is something beyond the ability of man to do. God has made things so that we can live in this world and be supplied what we need and gain what we need. And we have advanced in education, and people can do things today that they couldn't do hundreds of years ago. Doctors today can bring healing to people in sickness and needs, and and much better than it could hundreds of years ago. But there were miracles in the days of Jesus. It's not the natural thing, it's the supernatural thing that he had the power to do. He gave that power to his disciples as he sent them forth to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons from the people. Now God has that supernatural power to be able to do this. As a matter of fact, he has all power. He has all authority, and he has all power to do things, including creation. In the book of Revelation, we learn that in the latter days of the tribulation I mentioned a few moments ago, that Satan will be upon the earth, and Satan will have power given to the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they will work miracles and deceive many by the working of miracles they are able to do. But to us who believe in God and His Word, miracles are not something that we're amazed to read about. They are things we expect our God to be able to do. And we trust Him. And God uses no deception in the miracles that He does. He does it to meet a need that people have. There are four different Greek words that are translated about the miracles that Jesus did. The first word is dunamis, where our word dynamite and dynamic come from. It is a power that is supernatural. There are several passages of Scripture where it is translated mighty. Jesus did mighty works among the people. In Mark 6:14, Herod thought Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead, and therefore these mighty works showed themselves with him. The second word is teras, T-E-R-A-S. It means a wonder. Signs and wonders were done by Jesus, and there were signs and wonders by false prophets in the book of Mark. Chapter 13, verse 22 of Mark, Jesus rebuked the nobleman who simply came to him wanting to see signs and wonders. They wanted to see him work miracles just as Herod had also desired that. The third word is the word ergon, and it means a work, an energy. It was the works that he did. Jesus did mighty works, and he worked good works because he did the work that his Father had sent him to do. Fourthly is simeon, meaning a sign. The miracles that Jesus performed had a purpose. They had a reason. Over in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, in verse 11, the Bible says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." This was a sign to them. This was a revealing of who Jesus was in his deity. Now, there's a purpose to miracles. Miracles are to reveal. Miracles are to teach. Miracles were to expose the deity of Christ to the people to see that he had the power of God. You'll remember that Nicodemus came to him and said, "We know that thou art come from God, because no man can do these mighty works that thou doest except God be with him." He had believed the sign of the Messiah. To have miracles, they have purpose. They have purpose of people's needs. Jesus had compassion on those that were sick and in pain and hurting, and he laid his hands upon them and made them well. These miracles reveal that we have needs, and the needs that we have are because of sin and because of sickness and because of disease, and even because of death. Yea, the Lord even showed his power over death in raising those from the dead, and he himself arose from the dead, giving us the proof that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. The power of God over all of these builds hope and faith in a people. and they give glory to God because no man can do what God can do, and He receives the praise, honor, and glory for what He does. The characteristics of miracles. There's a high purpose, not used for personal convenience, but for other people's needs. Jesus didn't perform a lot of miracles because they needed food or because, except when He fed the multitude. He didn't use it personally for Himself, except when He walked upon water. And there was a purpose for that and a reason for that, and it was for others' benefit. There's no deception and no trickery in the miracles that Jesus did. Jesus calmed the storm when His disciples were with Him in the ship, and He spoke the words to the sea and the wind, and this storm on the Sea of Galilee, which is very wide and very large, and the wind gets up very high. It is called a sea because it is like an inland sea, but it is fresh water. And those sailing ships of that day, those storms could come up in a moment, and they could be hazardous. And this storm came up, and the disciples were afraid, and they feared for their lives. And then they were amazed that the winds and the sea obeyed Him and calmed when He spoke to them and said, "Be calm." Then Jesus walked on the water one night and came out to the ship, and they thought He was a spirit, and they were afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's You, let me come out on the water and walk to You." I read a little paperback book one time that encouraged my faith. It said, if you're going to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. You can say things about Peter. He became afraid when he saw the winds and the storm, and he feared and he started to sink, but the Lord raised him up. But none of the others got out of the boat, just Peter, who was impetuous enough to always be the one to speak up and be willing to step forth. And he saw the Lord walk on water. Jesus healed disease. One particular woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had spent all of her substance in going to doctors, which in that day were usually priests, not trained physicians like we have today. And they had done everything they could do, and she was not well. But she knew if she could but touch the hem of the garment of Jesus as He passed by, she would be healed. And Jesus turned to her and said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." He healed diseases. He cast out demons. The people were amazed. The story of the demoniacs of Gadara. There were two men living in the tombs possessed of great hosts of demons, and the Bible focuses on one of them, and the demon within him was called Legion. And a legion of soldiers was 1,000 soldiers. This man could not be tied up. He could not be imprisoned. He could not be held. He would simply break away, and he was cutting himself with stones and howling in the night, and the people were afraid to go by the tombs because of him. And Jesus cast the demons out of him, and the demons went into a herd of swine and ran down into the ocean and drowned themselves. He had the power over demons. He also raised the dead. In Matthew, there are 20 distinct miracles recorded. In Mark 18, in Luke 20, in John 7. But John reveals the first of the miracles, the wedding of the Canaan of Galilee. 35 separate miracles altogether, not counting the hundreds or even the thousands who were healed by Him, the Bible saying, and He healed all that were sick in that place. Now we still serve the same God that these people served in that day. The same Lord has the same power today as He had then. So we believe in healing. We believe in praying for people to be healed. We believe when people are sick and they come to us and ask for it, that elders of the church would anoint with oil and pray over them. And the prayer of faith can save the sick. And we believe that. But we don't believe in this thing of faith healers that have a line and hit people in the head and knock them down and blow on them and all that sort of thing. You don't find that in the Bible. You find a tender touch from Jesus with this man who is a leper. Now, the first of these three miracles that we read about in Matthew chapter 8 is the healing of a man with leprosy. The second one is a physical disease of a servant. And the third is Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever that put her in bed. It was a great disease of that day. Now Jesus responded to the direct appeal from those in need. Master, help me. Lord, you can help me if it is your will. Please help me. Cleanse me. The leper came close enough to speak to Jesus. Now, this was a violation to begin with. Lepers were to remain distant from the other people. They were to put their hand over their mouth and say unclean, to warn people not to come close to them because the disease of leprosy they had in that day was contagious. But this man came close enough to speak to Jesus and he asked to be made clean. He was unclean physically because of his disease, and he was unclean ceremonially because of his disease of leprosy. The centurion asked that his servant be healed. And this is a Gentile who came to the Jewish Messiah knowing he had the power to heal his servant by just speaking the words. And so Jesus did. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law with a fever by touching her hand. And Jesus ministered to outcasts and the lowest of society and the poor and the widows, to the humblest members of society. He said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The poor were a neglected people of that day. Leprosy was a symbol of sin. I won't turn there for the time, but I hope you'll look at it. In Leviticus chapter 13, Jesus spoke of the law of Moses for a leper being healed. He was to offer two heifers, and he was to offer pigeons that were to be, one was to be killed and the blood sprinkled. There was a ceremony and offerings that he was to offer because he got well. But in Leviticus 13:1, they pronounced a man unclean if he had leprosy. Secondly, he was to be shut up, separated from others. You know, sin makes a man unclean, and sin will separate you from your loved ones. They would even burn the very garments that the man wore who had leprosy. If he was healed, he made this offering in chapter 14 of Leviticus. And they would sprinkle the blood of one of the doves upon the other, or the pigeons. And he would to shave off all of his hair. And he was to bathe and wash his clothes. And on the eighth day, he was to offer two lambs and a meal offering. And if he was poor, he could offer one. Leprosy, like sin, could be deadly. Leprosy made the limbs numb. The reason many of them lost their fingers and toes, they became numb and had no blood flow, and they didn't feel pain after that, but they could easily fall off from being dead. This would cause the rotten smell of dead flesh from a leper. The smell of sin is something that is obnoxious to us all. It infects the whole person and it can spread to others, and sin works the same way. It is contagious. We influence the people that we are around, and we are influenced by people that we spend time with. It is a loathsome thing to say, "I'm unclean, I have leprosy." We don't like to say something like that. But my friend, as a sinner without Jesus Christ, you need to say the same thing. "I am unclean, Lord. If it will be your will, you can cleanse me." And I promise you, my friend, if you come to him in faith, he is able and powerful and can save you today. just as easily as he did with cleansing this leper in that day. Sin and leprosy were corrupting and contaminating and alienating, and they were incurable by man, and so is sin. This leper came to Jesus in faith and confidence that Jesus could heal him. And I like the humble application that he came with. If it be your will, you could heal me, you could cleanse me. He bowed before Jesus, showing worship. He called him Lord. He requested the Lord to help him. And he sought the will of God for his cleansing. He acknowledged Jesus' power to do what no one else could do, and that was to cleanse him of his leprosy and make him well. He believed Jesus was compassionate. He came reverently, revealing Christ as the Lord, and humbly, knowing Jesus was sovereign, and in faith that Jesus had the power to heal him. And then Jesus did something that was illegal also. The leper approached Jesus and spoke to him. He came close without his warning of being unclean, and Jesus touched him. You don't touch a leper who's to be separated from society. But my friend, the mercy of God reaches down to the lowest of sinners in the deepest of pits of sin, and God will come to you if you call upon him in faith, and he will cleanse you and make you clean. Jesus not only touched him, but he spoke the words, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy left him. You might have a process that you've gone through to come to a place to be saved. Somebody invited you, somebody's been praying for you, somebody's been witnessing to you, you've been reading things. But I promise you, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and call upon him to be your Lord and Savior, and you confess to him that you are a sinner and that you can't save yourself and that he has the power to save you, and you ask him to save you and to cleanse you, it will be an immediate thing that will take place when you believe on Jesus Christ. My wife and I went to a church, and we went forward and were dealt with about being saved. We got on our knees and prayed to be saved. And my friends, when we got up off our knees, we were saved. We were cleansed. Not only that, but we have been kept by the power of God unto salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last day. We don't keep ourselves. God didn't tell Noah, put pegs on the outside of the ark and hold on till the end if you can. God put them inside the ark and sealed them up safe and secure. And that's what he'll do for you if you get saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus believing who he is, knowing he has the power to save you, and instantly you can be forgiven of all your sins, and your soul will be saved, and you'll receive the Spirit of God, and you'll be different from that day forth than you ever have been before. He forgives you and cleanses you. Cleanses you of all the horrible results that sin has caused in your life up to that point before you were saved. True conversion comes when, like the leper, desperate people come to the Lord believing and humble themselves and confess to God their need. Lord, if it be thy will, you can cleanse me. And the Lord touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. No pride, no self-will, no demands, no claim of worthiness before God, but as a repulsive sinner seeking the mercy and grace of God, God will give you the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's in the gift-giving business, my friend. Santa Claus gets a lot of credit, but it's the Lord that deserves the glory for the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of all these folks being here today. We ask you to bless them and encourage them and help them. And we pray, Lord, if there's anyone who does not know Christ as Savior, that they'll deal with that, that they'll seek your help and help them to understand we stand ready to help them at any time. They could come this morning and have a counselor show them how to be saved. If they're watching on live streaming, they could call the church office and come by when we're here, and we'd be delighted to sit down with them and show them through the scriptures how to be saved and know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. So, Father, we lay this all out now. We've presented, as one old preacher used to say, it's voting time. We've given the message. Now it's time to see how people vote. Do they vote yes or no? And Lord, you desire them to be saved. So work on their heart by thy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.